This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you and encourage you and maybe even challenge you. If you'd like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also download the program and pass it on to others, either through an attachment to email or through Facebook or some other means. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, the old-fashioned way, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been looking at the important people in the Bible, at least people that were important to me as we studied through the Bible, and we looked at men and then we looked at women. But of course, we've now come to the most important person in the Bible, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the Old Testament tells us a little bit about him. We've seen him as the one who was high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6. We've seen many pictures of him in the Old Testament. We've looked at his title in the Old Testament. But we really don't get a full understanding of who God is, and thus who the Lord Jesus is, until we come to the New Testament. And we find out that he is the one who John calls the Word. He's the expression of God, and he's also the message of God. The message is the truth that we have in the Bible, and the Lord is the vehicle that has conveyed that truth to us. And so the Word is another way in which we look at the Lord Jesus. But today I want to look at the Lord as bread from heaven. Recently my wife and I were coming back from Rochester, Minnesota, after having kept some appointments at Mayo Clinic. And as we were coming back, we stopped at New Hampton and got a supper at a cafe that we had never been to before. That's a cafe that's run by relatives of friends. And as we ordered, they had homemade biscuits on the menu. It was part of the meals. And we ordered them thinking that they would be somewhat like the chain restaurant biscuits, either dry or light or baking powder or something like that. But these were the kind of biscuits that my mother used to make. They were heavy. They were almost a meal in themselves, and they were good. And I began to think about how that bread is often spoken of as the staff of life. And in the Bible, the bread from heaven is the way that we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there was manna that preserved the children of Israel during their wilderness journey. And in the New Testament, that manna is called bread, and it's bread from heaven. And I want to read to you about that when we read in Matthew chapter, get it right here, 6, or John chapter 6, I'm sorry, not Matthew, John chapter 6, we find out that they said to him, that is, the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Manna was available to them every morning, and they were only to pick up enough to last them through the day, excepting on Friday when they could get enough to last for Friday and the Sabbath, which was their Saturday. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, and this is what I'm reading for, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." And I love that last verse. The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The first part of the verse is, I think, perhaps mistranslated, because in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it's often hard to tell what part of the verse is it happens first and what part of the verse happens second. Time in those languages is much more random than it is in our English language. And as I look at other scripture, I would translate this not "all that the Father gives me shall come to me," but I would translate it "all that shall come to me the Father gives me." And that is, we are the believers given to the Lord as part of his bride, as part of the body of Christ. And that is his reward for being a man who came into this world and was willing to go to the cross and die for our sins. And so there's a day coming when we're going to be in that most preferred place of a bride to the Lord in heaven, those of us who believe today. So that all that will come to me, the Father gives me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. That gives us assurance that we're saved, and we're saved eternally. But what we can see as we read these passages is that the Lord uses the physical to explain the spiritual. And all through the Bible we say, well, we're reading it literally. But frankly, what we're doing is we're looking for the actual meaning of the poetry, the metaphors, the pictures that are given to us. And so when we go into the Old Testament, we find out that the children of Israel came out of Egypt through a lamb that was slain, which pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. That lamb was the means of putting away, really in a figurative way, their sin. They came out, and then they ate unleavened bread. And unleavened bread was eaten because leaven always speaks to us of evil. And the manna didn't have leaven in it. The bread that they ate after they came out of Egypt didn't have leaven in it, because there's no evil in the Lord. There's no pride in the Lord. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the meek and lowly one. And while there's pride in us, and leaven really speaks of that which puffs up, and there's pride in us, and there's pride in most of the bread that we eat, nevertheless, in the Lord there was no evil. And so it's the unleavened bread that really is the best picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the bread of life. He's the manna that came down from heaven. So there was physical manna in the Old Testament, and now he uses that physical picture and explains to us that there's a spiritual picture. And he is that spiritual picture. And we need the bread. We should feed upon the bread. We're dependent upon the bread. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, the Lord tells us, give us this day in our prayers. He says, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And it is interesting that we need to feed on the Lord every day. I realize that in a physical way, we try to lay up for the future. And right now, there are those who are concerned about not being able to get formula for their babies. And when they do find the formula, they hoard it. And yet the Lord has said that he takes care of sparrows. And they don't have savings accounts. They don't have an inventory of food. They are taken care of every day. And he says that we are to pray in that way ourselves. And it's only a believer that could understand this. I don't think this really would be something the unbeliever could pray and expect an answer to. But a believer can pray this. Give us this day our daily bread. And I can tell you, in our own lives here at home, that's exactly what the Lord has done. Sometimes things look pretty bleak as far as the future is concerned, but we've never, ever gone hungry. We haven't always eaten steak, but we have never gone hungry. And the Lord has said, ask for enough for each day and be satisfied with that, but make sure that you get some every day. We should feed upon our physical food every day. We often say we need 3 square meals a day. Well, I'm down to the fact that I only really need 1 square meal a day and 2 lunches or 2 minor meals. But nevertheless, we need some sustenance every day. And it's that way when we come to the Lord as well. The way we feed on the Lord is by reading the Word of God and taking it in and meditating upon it. And we need to have that daily bread, because it's the staff of life. And so it's the bread from heaven that sustains us. And we can't be sustained until we become a children of God by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says he will sustain us. And he does warn his disciples to beware of the leaven that is in most bread. He says, how is it that you do not understand in Matthew 16 that I did not speak to you concerning bread, that is the physical bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And it's interesting, isn't it, that there's an awfully lot of leaven in the world today. There's pride, and there's lies, there's untruth. We think of the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the spiritual leaders of the people, and yet they found false witnesses against the Lord when they wanted to crucify him. And those things just boggle my mind. In a natural way, if the Lord had not been the Son of God, they shouldn't have done that. But he had proven himself to be the Son of God, and yet they wanted to find false witnesses against him. So there is this leaven that's in the bread that speaks to us of evil. When we eat the bread, the leaven has, of course, gone through the fire, and its action is over. I know the bread we ate up there in New Hampton had been puffed up greatly, but it had a good, solid feel to it. But nevertheless, the unleavened bread is what really speaks of the Lord Jesus. Leavened bread speaks of bread that has evil in it, and we can feed on that kind of bread all we want to in this day and age. So the question we have is, has the Lord, who is the bread of heaven, been that which sustains us? And have we fed on him? As we come to the Word of God, first of all, the Word of God will be used by the Spirit of God to convict us of our need of the Lord Jesus. And once we find out that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we need to be saved from eternal conscious punishment through the Lord Jesus, and we take in that truth, then after we've taken in that truth, he will sustain us and guide us and keep us, and make sure he will make sure that our lives are something, that we live for him. We need a little of that bread every day. And my question is, are we feeding on bread from heaven, or are we feeding on the bread that this world offers us, on the pleasures and the bread that has the leaven in it that the world offers us? Are we keeping ourselves separate from the leaven of the world, or are we enjoying true fellowship with this one who was willing to die for us at the cross of Calvary? Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.